it's a little hot, these lights. Amen. Turn to somebody else and say, I'm glad you're here too. You don't want to leave anybody out. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning, and I want to kind of dovetail into the message from last week about seeing, and I want to talk about hearing, but the title of this message is My Help Cometh. Everybody say that. You know, if I feel helpless, I will ultimately have a mindset of hopelessness. Have you ever seen in your life or the life of our world a time where we need the help of God? Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? That's a question. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going in and coming out, coming in, going out and coming in from this time forevermore. Lord, bless the reading of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said. So the question is, does God really help us? And how does God help us? We know that one of the most dumbest sayings is, God helps those who help themselves. What a stupid saying. What is so contrary to the nature of God? So back in the early 1900s, there was a White Star company that built the great Titanic. The name Titanic is from the word Titan, which is Greek mythology about a god that was, you know, basically indestructible. So they built the Titanic, and it was a cruise ship, so to speak. But, I mean, they spared no expense with the ship. They even thought it was unsinkable because it had things you could close, but apparently somebody didn't do their homework on that. People wanted luxury. People found that the Titanic would be such a historic event to go on it. And so here they go. They set sail for New York. Well, one night, early in the afternoon, the telegraph came, or actually it was a Morris, it wasn't really a telegraph, I don't know, a Marconi type of instrument, and said icebergs were spotted maybe 150 miles ahead. The thing came two or three times. They took it to the captain, and the captain just set it on his desk, and now all of a sudden it started to get dark, and another one came, icebergs. But the owner of the luxury line says, we want to make it to New York and set a record. We're not going to slow down. In fact, they increased speed. The ironic thing about it is, if they had stopped for the night, 1,500 people would not have perished. You know what concerns me in the hour we're living in? We have the greatest of technology. We have the greatest of entertainment. We have the comfort that generations never had. And if we're not careful, we really don't get to a place of asking God for help like we should. Can I tell you this? The world needs to call out to God for help. There's no man, there's no politician. I'm telling you, we need God. We are like the Titanic that, you know, we had the warnings. Don't take God out of school. Don't take the Bible out of school. Warning, warning, atheists, professors in colleges, and we have a Supreme Court. It doesn't matter what marriage is. You can define it. Warning, iceberg, iceberg, iceberg. But most people keep going on with their lives. But I want to tell you, this virus was an iceberg that the world struck, I want to tell you. And I tell you, it's not going to change just because a new man gets in or we change this. We need God. We need God. We need His help. God, help us from not sinking. Help us so the suicide stops, so the drugs stop. God, we need your help. My iPhone ain't going to help me. My car is not. My car is not going to help me. God, help us. We've hit an iceberg, and people are in denial that we could go down. People are in denial that America could see a depression. People are in denial. I'm not in denial because I've heard from the Holy Ghost. We need God's help. Give Him a praise, somebody. I know I'm preaching, but this thing's real to me. How does God help in a situation like this? How does He help? You know, even on the Titanic, the band at the end was playing "Near to My God, to Thee," but it was too late. It was too late to have church service there. It was too late for souls to be saved because everybody was enjoying their luxury. Everybody was saying, "I'm rich, I have need of nothing." And so as they played that song, I pray to God a few people turned to God. We are on a course and water is coming in to every aspect of our life. Things could drastically change that we're not prepared for. They've already changed. And I tell you what, you say it can't get worse. It can get worse if God doesn't intervene, folks. We are not, listen, God wants to send grace in a wave through our nation and our land and our world that souls, the harvest will come in. We're thinking God's going to take the world and He's just going to fix it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He's going to burn it up and create a new heaven and a new earth. We've got to stop asking God to fix the world system and ask Him for laborers for the harvest, because that's the job of the church. It's His business what He does with the world. He said, "I'm going to make it all things new." See, God's not going to fix the world, so we go back to our carnal lifestyle and leaving God out. God's not going to fix that, but what He is going to do is raise up a people on fire for Him, a people that don't just want church, they want God, they want souls, and they want the grace of God to touch this generation. I want to tell you, we've hit the iceberg, but our help is still in the name of the Lord. Give Him praise, somebody. Now, how is God going to help us? I'm glad you asked that. I want to talk to you 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, and then I'm going to go to 1 Samuel. And I talked about this last week, that God has to open our eyes. You see, the eyes of that captain were not open to the reality because it was a proud ship. It was, the Titanic could never sink. In fact, they wrote in the newspaper, even God Himself couldn't sink it. Stupid, dumb. Are you kidding me? Are you going to actually say that? That God can't sink her? How far away was that man from God when they wrote? How carnal, how demonic to make an accusation against God. That God, listen, He's Creator God. He didn't sink it. Man's foolishness did. But to say that even God couldn't do it shows you don't even know the God that I serve. 2 Kings 6:15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah." We don't have to fear, because I got me some angels. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him. That means they set their tent up right there so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. And see, his eyes were closed, but there's angels right in here right now. There's angels right on this platform. You see, the Bible says it. It's not a lie. It's true. And if God has his angels right here, who can be against his people? Nobody can. The angels aren't just sitting there reading the Reader's Digest. The angels are in a cooperation. They go up and down a ladder like Jacob saw. And what they do is they're involved in the destiny of every believer. They are ministering spirits sent to those that are heirs of salvation. They are helping you be at the right place, meet the right people, and do the right thing. And sometimes we don't believe it, but our eyes need to be open that the angels of God are with us. Let's give him a praise, somebody. Open his eyes. Now, not only do our eyes need to be open, our ears need to be open. If that captain had been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you the Holy Ghost would have went, read that again. You know how many times the Spirit of God has saved us from things. The Spirit of God told Paul, don't go into that city yet. The Spirit suffered him not to go because he would have died there. It wasn't his time. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace in our life. Don't ever grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't ever vex the Holy Spirit by complaining. Don't ever shut off the Spirit of God's radar and compass. Because if you grieve him, you won't be able to hear him. And if you can't hear him, you might do some things you regret. I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord is not in a building. He's in a temple. Hallelujah. Speak words of life. Speak words of faith. Stay with a humble spirit. Stay with a repentant spirit. If you want to really hear from God, God resists the proud and arrogance. You arrogant ship, you say God can't sink you. You think that luxury will save you. You think the dollar bill will save you. It won't save you. How do we hear? Let's talk about it. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. The Bible says the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple. The presence of God left the temple. The glory of God left the temple. Ichabod was written on the door of the temple. Yet Eli kept going through his religious practices. But there was no power. There was no anointing. And so God goes to a 7 or 8 year old child and says, listen, I don't need some big religious Pharisee to talk for me. I'm going to go to a humble child, and he's going to be one of the greatest prophets in the land. And Eli goes, well, I guess God's talking to you. Isn't it interesting that he knows you by name? Samuel, Samuel, yes, Lord. Isn't it interesting the first thing he said, your servant hears, not your servant does, or your servant is here to help you, or your servant is here to give their opinions or ideas. Lord, your servant is here to hear you. Are we hearing, church? Are we hearing, body of Christ, the sounds of the Spirit? Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying unto the churches in this hour? Are we hearing, behold, the bridegroom cometh? Are we hearing the parable of the 10 virgins? Five slept, they all slept, at five wise, five foolish. Are we hearing the sounds of the birth of a new move of God? Are we hearing the sounds that we are to be ready with our lamps and torches burning to go to meet our Master? Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Christianity is not about a little bit of Sunday morning shouting. It's about a life. And people want to be anointed today, but let me tell you, the anointing has to balance my character. You can have great positions and be anointed, and the next week, scandals and things that hurt thousands of people. And I pray for mercy on everybody. But the reality in this hour, God's not only saying be anointed, He's saying be a person of your word. Not only be anointed, don't be two-faced. Don't slander. Don't talk about another believer in the parking lot. God's saying, listen, it's not just you being anointed, it's you being like Christ. Jesus is coming back for the church without spot or wrinkle, without any such things. Are we hearing like Samuel? Lord, let me hear you. Let me hear you. Because, see, there's things in my marriage, and I'm blaming it on my spouse, but I'm not really hearing how sometimes I'm the problem. Lord, I'm going to blame it on this one, but really sometimes I've not dealt with my own arrogance. Lord, I just want to blame it on my boss. But maybe I've never really learned to submit to anything or anybody. You see, if I don't hear the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to see the fiery chariots. I'm not going to see the glory. I won't see the glory. I've seen everything after 40 years in church life. I've seen everything, every type of thing you can't imagine. We can share it. I've seen everything. But I'm holding on for a glorious grace that sweeps through. There is a river thereof that shall make glad the city of God, and God shall help her, in that early Psalm 46. I'm holding on. And God put me in the cleft of the rock. And I might not be able to see your face, but put your head, but let your glory pass by. Let your compassion pass by. Oh, Lord, without it, Lord, all we're doing is going through the motions. I need your help. Oh, God. My talents can't reach high enough. It's not that I don't try. The Bible says I come short of the glory of God. Doesn't mean I don't try. I just can't reach high enough. My personality and charm just can't reach high enough to help anybody. My intellect and my spirituality, how spiritual I think, cannot help anybody if it's not confined into the uttermost character of Christ that displays a humility and a purity. You know, when we go to meet Jesus, number one, imagine that song, Imagine, am I going to dance? Listen, you might do it later, baby, but when you see him face to face, I guarantee you, you're going to fall on your face. I guarantee you, and I go, hey, Jesus, high five. You ain't going to do no dance. You're going to fall on your face, number one, because it's going to be so humbling. Number two, it's going to be so glorious. It's going to be beautiful. I won't be ready. I don't want to be naked and ashamed. I don't want to be not dressed. I want to be able to hear. First time I saw Debbie, had been saved 3 months. I didn't even know the voice of God like Samuel. God said, that's your wife. 6 years later, she saw the light and we got married. I wasn't ready to get married. Amen. And now God allows me to see things in people. God allows me to hear his words for people to be able to give them prophecies. I thought I'd do that. Are you kidding me? I'm fearful of it because I don't want to miss God. I would never say something that's not you. In the church in this hour, we need to say what God's saying. The 80s are over, thank God. The 90s are over, thank God. God, what are you saying now? What are you saying now, God? What are you saying in my personal life? Or have I come to the place where I'm like the Titanic? I'm just this, I'm just this, and I don't need nothing, and I know it all. And we've hit the iceberg. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the two main sources of help that God gives us first. Number one, he opens our eyes. If that captain had opened his eyes and seen icebergs, if he would have heard what that message say, he read the message, but he didn't hear what the message said. So God helps us by opening our eyes up because, listen, all you got to do is step one way like this and you can get out of the will of God. You can just step over here and backslide. God, lead me in a plain path. My steps are ordered by you. And even if I fall, if I'm trying my best, I'm going to fall forward. I'm not falling over here into sin. I'm not falling over here into worldliness and abandon your house and be afraid. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I believe that you are a very present help. I need to see my path because you're that lamp, the Word of God. The first way God helps us. He might not come the next day and fix your car in your garage, but he will open some eyes, our eyes up to our present spiritual situation, and he'll give us wisdom to take the next step. It might not change the situation, but it changes you. And let me tell you, God's more concerned about changing you and I than about changing the circumstance. And if we're going to sit around and wait for everything to be rosy before we move on, we'll never obtain what God wants. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, you keep on moving. Because your faith will help someone else who's struggling with fear. Who's God going to use? He's going to use someone who has seen. God, show us the fiery chariots again. A.A. Allen, one of the greatest healing revivalists of the 50s, had a tent. And Brother Shambach was standing there, one of the greatest miracles he ever saw, a baby with 22 birth defects. Death, couldn't see, arms shriveled, legs shriveled. And he saw right before his eyes. A.A. Allen, research it. A.A. Allen was preaching, and all of a sudden, he stops. So there's a woman here. I see you in the hospital. And the doctors are upset and I see you crying. And you've been here three nights and you drove 400 miles and you don't even have any money to get back. And your baby has all these infirmities. Where are you? She stands up with the baby. This is real stuff, folks. This is what church is about. Brings that baby up. Deaf, blind, lifeless. R.W. Shambach, right there. He prayed for him. And all of a sudden, eyes started to form. Hands started to grow out. The baby had never cried. I'm telling you, folks, our help is in the name of the Lord. And I know we have some things with God, but there's a dimension of God's miracle power we must have. We must have those flaming chariots. Another time, the fire department came to his tent because someone called and said his tent was on fire. There was a cloud, a fiery cloud on top of his tent. Research this. I don't know about you, but say, you know, Lord, We need something to shake this generation. And I believe if you and I individually will let God show us things we need to see, so we don't get in despair, so we don't feel have self-pity and start feeling sorry for ourselves. That's a sign I'm not seeing something I should see. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How will they call upon him if they've not heard? And how will they hear if they're not sent? And how will they believe if there's not a preacher? So our responsibility in this hour is not to say, God, just kill all the virus. And I pray for that, yes. But until all that happens, number one, I need personally to see some things I've not been seeing. And the second thing, I need to be hearing some things maybe I don't want to hear. My biggest changes in my life was when God's told me things and corrected me and convicted me. Not all the wonderful prophecies I've got. So when God took me to the woodshed, he said, Bill, you know what? And if you haven't heard that in a year or two, I'm just kind of wondering, because there's no way you can go that long without some type of... But I can't grow up unless God shows me. But it's not only God speaking to me about that, it's God speaking to me about the next level of the next anointing, the next level. It's not just God just wants me to hear him so he can correct me. No, that's only part of it. But he also wants to talk to me about what to do now, what to say now, what to be now. So it's a whole package. That's why we should never fear coming to God. God knows he has our best interest in mind. My help cometh. And until you and I get to the place where we realize what we are without the grace of God, that without God's grace on our life, what we would be. Until I realize that I work out my own salvation, not to obtain salvation, but I work out the process of salvation. I'm already saved, but I have to work that out. Until I realize that I've got to forget some things that are behind. I've got to press. Until I hear over in my spirit, know ye not that all that run in a race run all, only one receiveth the prize? That I can't live my Christian life recklessly and carelessly. That I must bring every thought into captivity, casting down imaginations of being famous or being high and exalted, casting down things, casting down words of negativity towards myself and others. Because I'm in a race, you see. God has helped you and I. We wouldn't be here today. And he's going to help our nation as we turn to God. You don't think it grieved the heart of Jesus when they took the Bible and prayer out of school? You don't think it grieved the heart of our Savior when the Supreme Court said it's all right to have same-sex marriages? That's not what Jesus said. He said from the beginning God created male and female. We kind of think, well, God just didn't see. Yes, he did see. Don't think he's grieved. You don't think that put into motion not only demons, but put in motion a mindset that it's okay because if the top approved it, then, you know, you don't think that put into motion people an apostasy away from God and realizing God has no standard, God has no morality, that it's all just a bunch of jumble stuff. Oh, I want to tell you something. Go to Rome and get a dustpan and a broom and sweep up the ashes, what's left of Rome. Because before Rome fell, they gave into orgies and all types. But when Rome first started, Rome was not that way. There were people who were in place that were righteous, but it fell and it fell. And we somehow think that the Titanic of America, we could never fall. But I want to tell you, the only hope is Christ, and the only hope is God's people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn, then I'm going to heal their land. Listen, God will let Titanic go down. God will let it go down if we don't turn and ask his help. He's after souls. I read a thing about all the children staying out over in the motel. All the parents. Come on, parents, get them out there. Get them over to this church. There's people hurting everywhere. Our answer is Jesus. That's why we lift him up in this church. That's why we exalt him. My help cometh the first way, as we put some music on. My first way, as we talked about last week and today, my eyes being opened. I'm not doing this alone. When I stand up here, I have angels here. I have the Spirit of God here. I have the calling of God here. I have the hand of God here that was on me since I was born. I have the hand that led me through rebellious teenage years. I have the hand of God that brought me to an altar in a gym. I have the hand of God that comes upon me when I pray. I'm not here alone. I'm not here trying to be another preacher. I'm here trying to guide the church in this hour to the place of power and anointing, that souls will be saved. Give God a praise, somebody. Is that why you're here? Yes. Second thing, I need to hear from God. I went to the Sam's Club a while ago, and they had this free hearing test. And so I went in there, and he did one ear. Then he said, well, I can't do the other ear. It's too much wax in there. I said, well, he's a little kid. Go home and do it. We got a lot of wax that needs to come out of our spiritual ears. It's a thing to protect the ear, but after a while, too much of it, we lose our boldness. I'm not interested in a spiritual hearing aid. I'm not interested in just listening to everybody else preach and teach and them to aid me. I want to hear God myself. That doesn't mean I don't have need. If I had no need, Ephesians 4:11 wouldn't be there. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints. There's a lot of folks not hearing the Spirit of God. They don't give, they don't tithe, they don't submit, don't serve, cause division in the church. Ain't hearing. I want to hear. Are you pleasing God or man? Paul said, if I still please man, I'd not be the servant of Christ. Every once in a while, preachers have to preach stuff that makes people uncomfortable because it's the truth. Speak it in love. How many this morning want to make sure you're seeing? And let the Holy Spirit take some wax out. I'll start with me. Who is blind but your servant? Isaiah said. Thou seest things, but now thou observest not. Jesus said to the man, the blind man, what would you have me do? Oh, Lord, that I might see. Faith comes by hearing, hearing, and hearing. Every day on the news, we're getting news of the Titanic sinking. Every day. Just, what was that young man that played in 49 and Jackie Cooper's story? Just died, just 47 years old. Thank God, 40 years old. Death's all around us. People are jumping ship, committing suicide. And they didn't even have enough life rafts on there. But I know a life raft. His name is Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm confident of this, the one that started the work. He's going to finish it. But I got to be committed to two things. I'm going to close. I got to be committed for God to show me some things. First, about myself. I think we've gotten too perfected of looking at other people's faults and seeing stuff in them. Come on. God didn't call you to look at everybody else's faults and what they do, what they don't do, and judge them. That's the devil. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Have mercy on me. I can't imagine the depths of despair when he wrote that. Because when he was committing adultery with Bathsheba, he already had 10 wives, whatever. But then when he conspired to have Uriah killed, first degree premeditated murder, he was blind to what he was doing. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit was talking to him. And when that hit David, Nathan said, "Thou art the man." There's few Christians that have ever had that moment where you realize, it's me. And at that moment, a brokenness comes. You'll never be the same, but with the brokenness comes a new grace and humility. God doesn't use people that are not broken. God uses anybody under the anointing, they've been broken and broken and broken. God finally gets down to the real person. Yeah. Then he floods them with grace and a new joy. I want to see. If I mistreat my wife, I want to see it. If I'm short with my wife, I want to see it. Not blame her. If I hear something, I want to know. I'm not going to have a crummy marriage and a good ministry. If I mistreat my brother, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. This night, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not. You don't see it, do you, Peter? You don't have to go through this, Peter, if you just accepted what I told you. And the third time he denied, he went out and wept bitterly. I want those moments to be over. I want God to so finish the work that I don't spend that on myself, that I'm finished with that. And like Peter, after that, can stand up and preach and 3,000 get saved. Sure, there's water in the ship, but we have some angels. There's water in the ship, but there's always hope. And you might not think you have a life raft in this life, but you have Jesus. And no man's able to pluck you out of his hand. If you're in the will of God, you cannot die until God allows it. The devil doesn't have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus does. That's why the will of God is so important. The will of God is so magnificent. It's good and it's perfect. Would you stand with me this morning and close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord? Father, we thank you now as we close this service. If there's someone watching away from you, doesn't know you, we pray that you would show them the way. And if you're watching today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, heal me, and restore me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that, go to our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org, and let us know that you found Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a